Pray, gracious God, your word is life-giving. We pray that as we prepare our hearts to receive your holy word, inspire us, lift us, renew us, and send us out to do your will. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, which can be found on page 838 of your pew Bible. Hear these words of our Lord. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Having grown up in Southern California and living most of my life on the West Coast, it has been such a treat to come out here to Western PA and explore the history that is so rich in this area. About 6 years ago, my family and I went to Washington, D.C., and we got a chance to explore the sites there, and then we went on to Philadelphia and Boston, and to be able to walk where the founding fathers walked, and to be able to see the Liberty Bell, and to actually go to where George Washington had walked, and I believe there's the trail is here over here that you can actually go and find the trail that George Washington brought his troops through. That is amazing. It makes history come alive. Now, as I toured these places, I imagined what it must have been like for those who actually lived during the Revolutionary War. And while this is fun to imagine, as I think about myself, I think I am not a revolutionary person. I am very simple. I want people to get along, to love one another. It must be my hippy-dippy California roots. But my parents raised me with a sense of civic responsibility, to work hard, to pay my taxes, to vote. I was also raised a Christian, to give to charity, to be kind to others, to love my neighbor as myself. These are values instilled within us as Christians and Americans. I count myself lucky to have been given the opportunities of this country. For the most part, I am satisfied with my lot in life. And yet I hunger for more. I yearn to be part of something greater than myself. It reminds me of the Beatles song, Revolution, where it says, you say you want a revolution. You know, we all want to change the world. There is a part of me that wants to change the world. Do I not also hunger for a world with more peace, more love, more hope? The problem is, I just don't know how to get there. The problems of the world seem so large. And I am but one small person among billions. It can feel this way in the church as well. We want the church to grow. We want others to know the love of Christ, the love that we have known. We want others to have the opportunities and faith that we have experienced. But how? How do we reach out? How do we evangelize and spread the good news of Christ? Especially in a changing world. It seems like the world is changing so quickly these days. Think about it. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. In just a matter of a decade, things have changed so rapidly. I still remember having to use a typewriter to write my high school term papers. Remember when you would have to make a mistake and you'd have to use your eraser? We didn't have one of those high fashion ones with like the self deleting. It's hard to keep up with all the changes in the world. It is easy to feel like the world has left us behind. So how do we go about reaching out to a new generation? In a world that communicates so differently than what we have known. I do have a revolutionary zeal. But I am often confused and dismayed about how to go about bringing about the change which I desire. One thing about revolutions, though, is that they have a lot to do with timing. Our founding fathers had talent, ability, and knowledge. But there have been plenty of people with talent, ability, and knowledge that have failed to bring about the revolution in which they promised. I am reminded of the Segway machines. You know what those things are? Those little carts that you stand upon and drive you around. When they were introduced in 2001, they were touted as something that was going to revolutionize the way that we were to get around, how we would conduct our daily activities. Billionaire John Dower said that the Segway was going to be more important than the internet. Steve Jobs was quoted as saying that it was as big a deal as the PC. How many of you own a Segway? I have never even used one. The only places we're probably likely to see them is in a mall with a security guard, or maybe on one of those city tours that if you go out in the city, you might see them used as a city tour. But otherwise, they have not made an impact on our lives. There can be a lot of hype about something. But if the timing and the need is not there, then a revolution will not happen. But there are times and conditions which are right to ignite a revolution. Over 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses upon the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. However, he was not the first to discuss his grievances and concerns about the Catholic Church. 300 years prior to Luther, a man named Pierre Valdo started a group called the Waldenses, which emphasized living a simple life according to the Gospels. This movement was a precursor to the Reformation. And like Martin Luther, they rejected the papacy and the power and wealth of the Church of Rome. They rejected the doctrine of purgatory and the cult of saints. They too commissioned translations of parts of the Bible into the common language. And it wasn't only Pierre Valdo that led reform movements. John Wycliffe in England led a movement in the 14th century, and John Huss in the 15th century led one in Bohemia, Germany. But it was Martin Luther who, hundreds of years later, is often credited with beginning a revolution known as the Protestant Reformation. Many historians trace his success back to the fact of the advancement of the printing press in spreading Martin Luther's teachings. Also to the rise of the middle class after the Renaissance, which encouraged freedom of thought. With revolution, timing is everything. And so it was for the disciples as well. The disciples of Jesus didn't have superhuman understanding and knowledge. They were ordinary people like you and me. Some of them were professionals and tradesmen. Others worked as fishermen. There were even some that were in fields that were not so reputable, such as Matthew, the author of our gospel. He was a tax collector. Jesus' disciples were not more talented or dedicated than, say, the disciples of John the Baptist. But it was their timing and their connection to Christ which made the difference. We might not be at the right time and place to change the world. We might even feel ordinary. But like those ordinary disciples, each one of us is made and set where we are for a reason. We are, in fact, more than ordinary, for God has created us to be extraordinary. There is no one like us in the world. The Bible tells us that God knitted us in our mother's womb. We are specifically and intricately made. There is no one in the world like you. The world might tell you that you are not enough, that you are just ordinary. But God believes that you are so much more. Perhaps you were told that you don't have what it takes to succeed. But God has a different message for each of us. He has given you exact talents and abilities you need to succeed in His kingdom. You are not a cosmic accident. Perhaps we are not meant to change the world. But in Christ, we are called to change our little piece of the world. We might not know how to preach the gospel like the great teachers of old, or give an altar call like Billy Graham. But as Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, each of us can make a difference. We can make a difference within our own lives and within the lives of those around us. He reminds us that we are the salt of the earth. Back in Jesus' day, salt served two primary functions. First of all, it was used in order to keep food from spoiling. They did not have refrigeration. Meat and food left out in the open would quickly spoil. Have you ever left your lunch out in a warm car? I hope that you didn't eat it afterwards. Up until the mid-20th century, salt was the primary preservation process for meat. Now, I'm sure that there's someone here that understands the science behind it better than I do. But as far as I understand, the salt prevents the microbes and bacteria from growing in the meat. It is the same reason that every time I use my cutting board to cut poultry with, I always salt it in order so that it won't pass any decay or any bacteria into the future. Jesus reminds us that as the people of God, we are here as a preservative for the world. When we live according to the ways and love of God, we help to keep the spiritual microbes and bacteria of sin at bay. The microbes and sin that cause our spiritual decay. Israel and the law were given as salt to the world, to help preserve the world and to keep it fresh. Jesus points out that he did not come to overturn the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. For the law was meant to turn our hearts to God, to those things which God desires, such as charity, love, and mercy. The second purpose of salt was the same as many of us use it today. It provides flavor. But as you must know, a little salt goes a long way. Too much salt, and the food becomes inedible. The law and the prophets show us the way towards God. But when we take that preservative and overuse it, when we make rules and a means to push others away by those rules, when we have our own agendas to force our opinions over others, we keep others from knowing the love of God. We have turned the good and righteous love of God into our own self-righteousness. It is then that our faith becomes unpalatable to those around us. There is another trait of salt which we can learn from as well. If you go to the grocery aisle where the salt is placed, nowadays you can find all kinds of salt. You can find kosher salt, iodized salt, rock salt, sea salt. There are even now flavored salts. That is because salt as a crystal takes on the attributes of its environment. Therefore, a salt infused with smoke will taste smoky, just as a lavender salt will have a hint of lavender. So if we are the salt of the world, our environment makes a difference. By living the Christian life, reading our Bible, coming to church, living out our faith, in acts of kindness and compassion, we are infused with the love of and flavor of Christ. And then we take on his flavor. We become more flavorful, more vibrant, more mouth-watering, more succulent. But the opposite is also true. If we surround ourselves with sin, deceit, avarice, and selfishness, then we become impalatable. We become only good enough to be thrown away. The good news, though, is that Christ's flavor is more powerful than sin and deceit. It's more powerful than any bad environment that we might have been surrounded with in our past. He calls us to turn away from sin, to turn away from the spiritual decay and run towards Christ, to take on his qualities, his goodness. And the more we turn to him, the more that we understand how special we are to God. It becomes more evident to us and to the world that we are the salt of the earth. So friends, accept the flavor of Christ. Be part of God's revolution. As the people of God, you are a gift. Go out and stop the decay. Stop it by sharing the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Live towards the values of freedom, peace, justice, and compassion. Those that have been given to each of us. Let us bear witness to the truth that now resides in us by the power of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
They never fail to do it. And I used to cuss and get so mad about that. And it happened last week. And you know what I did? I just stood there and laughed. I said, I'm not. God has a sense of humor. And I'm going to have one too. And every time one of these cords and hoses gets tangled up, I'm just going to stand there and laugh. And it brought me such peace. Because there it happened again, the thousandth time. And instead of impatience and anger, I just stood there and laughed. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you, Bert. That's a wonderful story of turning what could be a frustration into a praise to have patience. Amen. Are there other prayer concerns we like lifted up at this time? I got news the other day from Jim Lehman that Betty is back at Cranberry Place. She is still struggling with some appetite issues, and so they are trying to figure out what the next steps are. Prayers for Jim and Betty as they navigate this this territory of how to get her the care that she needs so that she can start to improve. So please keep them in your prayers. Yes?
I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister-in-law who lost her husband last week, and just all of them to be blessed by his memory. Mm.
We give praise for the life that he led and the love that he shared with your sister-in-law. And we also lift up prayers for her and for their whole family as they mourn his passing. I give praise and thanks just for a little bit of warmer weather. It's almost like a heat wave out here as we hit 40 degrees. I think it's almost going to hit almost 60 later on this this week. So I don't know. Punxsutawney Phil said that we have 6 more weeks, but hopefully maybe he's a little bit, maybe we can get a little early spring. But I just give praise to God for the change of weather and the sunshine, too. Well, let us continue in our prayers. Gracious God, we thank you that you have emboldened us, empowered us, strengthened us. Help us to share the love, the knowledge, the peace that we have known in you. Help us to carry it out and to be a light into the world. Help us not to hide your light under a bushel, but let it to shine bright and to cast your love and your peace into this darkened world. We give you thanks and praise. We lift up all of these prayers in the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us join together in our sending hymn, number 333, Seek Ye First. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, go out and be salt of the earth. Go out in the flavor that God has given to you. Now go out in the name of Jesus Christ, in the love of God, his Father, of our Father, the grace and mercy of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.